Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to digitalcommerce.com and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's digitalcommerce.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those of you who don't know me yet, I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So this is episode number 52 of this podcast, and I vote that that makes it the 1 year anniversary. Now, we skipped an episode or two over the holidays, and so the calendar might not 100% agree with me, but come on, who wants to be that literal? So in honor of my first year of podcasting, I want to talk about maybe my favorite virtue for business owners. And that is raw, undiluted, maybe even cranky stubbornness. So a lot of you have heard me go off on my favorite rant on this idea that business owners have to have a specific kind of DNA. For example, a big believer in this idea is Gary Vaynerchuk. He's written about this a couple of times. He wrote about it recently. Somebody sent it to me on Twitter. And he really thinks about it a lot. You know, he thinks about who he is as a person, his inherent personality, which is, you know, a very strong personality. And he really feels like that's indispensable to being a business owner. So I don't agree with that. I think that his, you know, his innate temperament is indispensable to him being Gary Vee. And Gary Vee is a very exciting and interesting person to pay attention to. He has certain strengths. He also has certain weaknesses as a business owner. And part of that comes from his temperament, but he has resources that I think are so much a part of him that he doesn't realize that he has them. And yet that is really not DNA. You know, Gary Vee came to the United States from Belarus when he was about 3, if the dates on Wikipedia are trustworthy. And he comes from a family that was very resilient, very hardworking, and that owned a liquor store. And his upbringing, as difficult as I am quite sure that it was, and as full of challenges and as full of, you know, obstacles to be overcome, it also gave him some really incredible gifts. So, you know, not the kind of gifts of growing up with marble bathtubs or gold-plated silverware, but a gift or a privilege of a mindset for business. And in fact, one of the very first guests I had on this podcast was my friend, Sean D'Souza. And Sean grew up in a family of business owners. And he talked in that podcast about, you know, absorbing all of these ways of thinking from the time he was absolutely teeny tiny. So the way that they thought about relationships, the way that they thought about time and how they managed their time, the way that they thought about money, the way that they thought about, you know, everything was really informed because they did this work of running businesses. And that kind of sank into his bones and into his brain, not because it was part of his DNA, but because it was part of the air he breathed, you know, every minute of his life when he was growing up. It looks like DNA because it's not something that you ask for. It's not something that you work for. It's something that is given to some people as a gift of their birth. And it's fantastic, you know. I mean, it's really a part of what makes Sean Sean. It's really a part of what makes Gary Gary. And I love the way that they look at that world through this lens that they inherited. But it isn't DNA. So a trait or an ability, for example, the ability to sell, this one is often perceived to be something that is innate and genetic. You have it or you don't. You're either a born salesperson or you're not. But we know that this is not about DNA because we have examples all over the place of people who didn't grow up with it, who never particularly demonstrated it, and then they learned it. Or they otherwise acquired it. Maybe they worked with a partner who had that strength. So no matter what I read or who I meet with or what workshops I attend or what investments I make, I never get any taller. How tall I am is DNA. But then there are these other gifts that we receive as part of, you know, just where we're born and how we're born. You can call them privileges. That's kind of an intense word, but I think it's a fair word. A lot of times it's just being lucky enough to get born to parents who value something like education and hard work. I was lucky enough to get those privileges, and it is not a small thing at all. There was a super interesting experiment that was done a couple of years ago. It was done at UC Berkeley, which I find hilarious because A, it's my alma mater, and B, it's the complete and total epicenter of political correctness on the planet. And yet the participants in this exercise, you know, seem not to have gotten the memo. So these participants were playing Monopoly, and some of them were given like double the starting money, and they were allowed to roll more dice. Or in some other really significantly material way, they had the game stacked in their favor from the beginning. And part of the scenario is that at the end of the game, they were asked why they won. Because, you know, of course, with all these advantages, they won, right? That's not surprising. And they would give these fascinating reasons. Like they would say, well, I won because I used this particular strategy. Or I won because I love Monopoly. I just love playing Monopoly. I'm really good at it. Or sometimes they would even credit some luck, but it would be something like, oh, I got that triple roll of sixes right when I needed it, conveniently ignoring the fact that they had three dice and their opponent had two dice. And it's a little shocking, and this is why I find it kind of hilarious, how few of them seem to remember that they started out with double the money, and they started off with, let's say, three dice instead of two. So the study was really broad, and I think it's a little bit of a blind man in the elephant kind of study. In other words, everyone who, you know, hears about it or reads about it seems to see exactly their own bias in it and say, yes, that, you know, reflects what I believed all along. So I'm not super attached to it as scientific evidence of much of anything, but I think it makes a great story, and I think it makes a great metaphor for how easy it is to forget what we started out with as we're playing the game, as we get caught up in the heat of the game. So I'm not even necessarily saying that this is something you should feel bad about. I mean, we all have advantages that we came into this world with. I just say, don't think that that makes you, you know, smart or hardworking or anything other than just really, really fortunate. So as much as you can, try and be conscious if maybe, you know, you got a few extra die when you were, a few extra dice when you were born. Try and be thankful, try and roll up your sleeves and make the most of it. And it strikes me that a lot of people have gone a little bit off the rails with this study because they approach it and say, oh, see, that's why those rich people are like that. The researcher whose name is Paul Piff has a TEDx talk, and it's called Does Money Make You Mean? You know, those other rich people. I don't think that's helpful. What I think is helpful is looking at it and saying, this is why and how we are sometimes like this. So I will say something that I hope is not overly controversial, but every person listening to this has inherited some degree of privilege. So you're on the internet. You live in a really special time. It is a privilege to be born when we were born, when so many things are possible. You have access to technology. I'm going to just take a wild guess here and say that you have enough to eat and you have clean drinking water. This stuff is not trivial. We take it for granted, but this stuff is all double Monopoly money and not everybody gets it. So I'm just in favor of taking a little bit of time to honor the gifts that we received at birth, and they are not in any way evenly distributed, but we do all have gifts, and I think it's helpful and useful to try and be mindful of them and be thankful. So that's the stuff you were born with, the stuff that you didn't do anything to get, right? You're tall or you're extremely extroverted like a Gary Vee or, you know, whatever it might be. Then there's this other thing, and for lack of a better word, I call these blessings. And for me, the blessings are the opportunities. They're doors that present themselves, but we decide whether or not to open them. So they are still gifts, but you have to do something to unlock them. You have to put some form of work in. You know, you have to assess the situation with your best judgment and try and make a good call on how to move forward. You have to compete on your strengths and train your weaknesses, which means you do what you're excellent at, and then you make a plan for how you're going to work with what you might kind of suck pretty badly at. So for me, this category of blessings is things like, you know, marketing and business education. So access to a blog that teaches you, or a conference that inspires you and educates you, or a potential business partner that you might meet on LinkedIn or Twitter. They're opportunities that we get to play the hand we're dealt in a smarter way. And sometimes they're even opportunities to pick up extra cards. So the way that I think about it is to be conscious of and grateful for what you were given, for the privileges that you enjoy, and try not to let them make you think you're so smart. And then work hard and leverage the blessings that you come across to the best of your ability. Now, luck matters a lot. Luck matters much more than we like to think. But we've all seen, you know, so many examples of ultra fortunate people who threw their success and their happiness away with both hands because they put no work into their blessings. So please don't be that person, because seriously, it's very, very depressing. So circling back to stubbornness, when I talk about this favorite vice slash virtue of mine, stubbornness, this is how I see it. If you're going to reach a goal, you're going to reach a personal goal, financial, business, health, relationship, whatever it is. Every goal that you're working towards, you have to take into account your constraints and your assets. The assets are the privileges and the blessings. They're both the things that you just, you know, get. You just woke up this way. This is just part of who you are. And then the blessings, the things that you have access to that you could take advantage of if you want. All your resources. So these are things like your abilities, your education, your cash, your available time, your network, your upbringing, the awesome marketing and business podcasts you listen to, the books and courses you've acquired, all that stuff. You get the idea. And then you have constraints. And I always find it kind of interesting that these often have the exact same labels as the assets. So there might be something lacking, or there might be something that's not that awesome about your abilities or your education or your money situation or how much time you have right now, your network, your upbringing. You know how to fill in those blanks for yourself. You know what it is that you feel the lack of sorely. So I'm going to write a post about this soon, but the way that I think about it is you sit down and basically you have a box of Legos. And you're going to make something out of the Legos that you've been given. And you're not going to use the Legos that you don't have because you don't have them. And really, that's what working toward goals is all about. You know, no matter what kind of goal, success goal, business goal, you have this unique combination of assets and constraints. And then how you put them together is really up to you. So if you have absolutely everything you need right there in front of you, maybe, you know, you just happen to be fortunate and you've got a really, really good set of Lego, the ones with like the wheels and the axles and maybe like the really cool electronic motor, then, you know, you just go forth and you put it together. And more than likely, you don't listen to podcasts like this one because you don't need podcasts like this one. You have what you need. And hey, go you. You know, I think that's wonderful. For most of us, we're going to need to work around a few things. We're going to need to get creative. We need to build something different, something nobody's ever seen before, because nobody has ever come and sat down with the specific box of Legos and then the specific creativity that we apply to it. And, you know, constraints make the most beautiful design. The most excellent and exceptional design is strongly shaped by what's not used, by what's not available, not by what is. So if we want to make a life-sized bullfighter out of Legos and we have no red Legos at all for the cape, then we have to figure out how are we going to get some red Legos, you know? So maybe we have a friend who has some and they'll let us borrow them, or we have a bunch of green and yellow Legos and we can trade, or we can take our birthday money and we can buy some Legos, or maybe you want to create a new character called the Blue Fighter who has a blue cape. You know, I don't know. How you solve the problem is precisely what it is that's going to make your business or your project unique. But for me, the cool thing is if you have enough stubbornness, you will figure it out. You know, if you have to go out and wander the streets and just, the only thing you can do is go around and wander on the street and look for stray pennies and save them up. And it, you know, you will eventually have enough for some red Legos. I mean, it might take you 2 years, but you will have enough. So for some, it's going to be really hard. And for others, it's going to be pretty manageable. We're all starting from a different place. Everybody, every one of us comes up against some kind of issue that's going to require a lot of stubbornness. And another word you could use would be courage or grit. If you are a meditator, another word you might use might actually be mindfulness or equanimity. The idea is to stay with the problem set through the frustrations. So you continue to apply your intelligence and your intention. And, you know, a lot of times we need to back off of it for a little while. So we work hard. We just sort of, you know, bang our heads against it for a while. And then we back away from it and sleep on it. And then we come back to it. Consider and we reconsider the assets and then how they match up against the constraints. And eventually we come up with a solution that makes us happy. And not to be too overly dramatic about it, if you have the stubbornness, you will get to the solution or, you know, die trying. And for me, there's something really core to human dignity about that. And I want to read you a quote about Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela was a complete hero of my lifetime. He spent 27 years in prison in a country that was not just fanatical about their system of injustice, it was almost religious about maintaining the system of completely pervasive injustice. And the way that Mandela figured out how to use his constraints as assets is, it really blows my mind. So I'm going to quote to you, I found this on a webpage from the PBS series Frontline, and they did an episode called The Long Walk of Nelson Mandela. In the winter of 1964, Nelson Mandela arrived on Robben Island, where he would spend 18 of his 27 prison years. Confined to a small cell, the floor his bed, a bucket for a toilet, he was forced to do hard labor in a quarry. He was allowed one visitor a year for 30 minutes. He could write and receive one letter every 6 months. But Robben Island became the crucible which transformed him. Through his intelligence, charm, and dignified defiance, Mandela eventually bent even the most brutal prison officials to his will, assumed leadership over his jailed comrades, and became the master of his own prison. He emerged from it the mature leader who would fight and win the great political battles that would create a new democratic South Africa. So thank you for indulging me. That story truly, literally gives me chills. I still find it very inspiring. And you know, I have to tell you, in the 1980s, really sincerely, very few people, nobody really thought South Africa was ever going to overthrow apartheid. And definitely not, you know, in our lifetime. But Mandela could see it and he could make it happen, even, you know, in this just insanely limited situation. And we seek out stories like this because they remind us that we have this unbelievable human ability to keep turning over the assets and the constraints over and over again, to keep applying our creativity and our stubbornness. We are a crazy species, and some days, you know, I really worry about us. But we do have this going for us, and I think it's cool. And something that I find very helpful in my life is every time I can, I try to look up from my own problems and say to myself, okay, if that person can do this, I think I can do this. I just find it very, very helpful. So I would love to know about your assets. I would love to know about your constraints. If you want to share a time that you were able to sit with a problem and get stubborn on it, we would all love to hear about that. If you are in the middle of a problem that's got you grinding your gears, let us know about that too. I will tell you, one of the assets that we often forget to mobilize is our community, and especially, you know, community of other people who are doing what you're doing. So not always necessarily your friends or your family or the people you're in church with. If you can get a community of people who are doing the same kind of work you're doing, that's very useful. People really want to help you get where you're going. We're really wired for it. And it's so easy. And I think especially in the US and in the West, it's really easy to overlook that because we have this big mythology around the Lone Ranger and the Lone Wolf and the one person success. And it's really easy to forget that we can pull a community together and reach our goals together. And it is so powerful. It is so, so powerful. So if you've got stories, share them. If you've got problems, share them. We'll work on them together. Or if you just want to wish the podcast happy birthday, I will totally take that too. You can swing by pinkhairedmarketer.fm or you can tweet me at Sonia Simone. And I will be very happy to see you next time. Take care of yourself.